I said before we begin, just like to mention, first of all, that tonight at 10:45, anyone that would like to join me in my home, we're learning the Sefer Tanya of the Reb Shneur Zalman Milandi. He was the original Lubavitcher Rebbe. He wrote a Sefer on Chassidus. It's called Sefer Abenim. It has lots of different names, and it's a Sefer that it takes a lot of work to learn, and we're trying to go through it together. Tonight, Beis Hashem, we'll try to do a little bit of just a summary of what we've done up until now. For those that weren't here, if you want to join us, it's 10:45 in my house. You're welcome. Tomorrow morning, 10 at 7:30 in the morning, those that would like to, before davening, we have a Chabura in the Ezras Nashim. We learned the Sefer Sharm B'Tvila, Sefer from Shimshon Pinkus, which is a preparation for davening to get you in the right mindset to understand a little bit more about davening. That's 7:30 every morning aside for Friday and Shabbos. We also will be having a chavrusa shaft between the older and younger bachrim, which will take place on Monday night after Maariv, before the Chovetz Talmidim Shmuz. Tomorrow night there might be a little bit of a different schedule to be announced. That depends. I'll hopefully be able to tell you about that soon. But in general, it'll be Monday nights after Maariv to learn Shmiras Haloshin, and on Shabbos afternoon also to be learning on the Seder on Shabbos. The chavrusas will be paired up. If you don't know who your chavrus is, you can speak to Shmuley Lazar. Rabbi, I want to speak to you about El. Rabbi Yerochim writes the following story. And if you understand it, it's not really that complicated, though it sounds very deep. He speaks about what a zman is. The pasuk says, "Lachol zman ve'es lachol chefetz." Lachol zman ve'es lachol chefetz. There's a zman for something. And the Medrash tells us there was a zman for Adam Rishon to go into Gan Eden. There was a zman for Noach to go into the Teva. There was a zman for everything that happened in the world. There are times we just think of every day as just being a day. And what happens during that day is really basically up to me. But it doesn't really go that way. There are certain times that are more conducive to certain types of behavior. There are certain times that are more conducive for certain things to happen in the world. Lakol zman. There's a zman for things to happen. And since Rabbi Yerucham, people think that because we have all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, that's why Shabbos is a special day. He says it's not like that. Because Shabbos is a special day, it's a special zman. Therefore, we have mitzvahs. Yom Tov, there's a zman. Every zman has its own unique nature and quality. There's a zman called Elul. And that's why there's mazalos, and every zman has its own specific mazal, which means there's something about this zman that a person can get in touch with. The zman is goyrim. So we have to try to understand what is the zman of Elul. So Elul, we're going to speak about the different people, their approach and attitude towards El. Rabbeinu Yoina was one of the Rishonim, writes the following thing. He writes, Mishenichnas El ad Moitzei Yom Kippur, Yehei Adam Yorei V'chorad Me'emas Adin. A person's supposed to have fear, trepidation during El. El is a time that people associated with a certain degree of fear. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who started the Musar movement, he writes the following thing in Or Yisrael, Milifnim, back in the day, Kasher Yodati, like I knew about, Kol Ish Achsoi Plotsoi, a person, he was gripped with fear. When? Mikol HaKoyre Elul, just hearing the word. People would say, Elul, and just that word would grip people with fear. Elul was a time when people, they were concerned with what was happening. Rav Mendel Nivarki, he was one of the Hasidic Rebbes. When he heard Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Av, he fell off his chair. Because Av, he said, is Rosh Yitevos Elul Ba. Just the thought, just the remez that Elul is coming and already he's falling off his chair. He can't sit still. Because there's something that happens in Elul. I read once a description of what Elul was like in Yeshiva Chevron in the year 1953. Yeshiva Chevron is a very, very loud yeshiva. In Elul, everyone was talking in an undertone. Everyone talked quietly. No one raised their voices. In Elul, they didn't gather together in groups. Every person was like sitting by himself. There was this, like, there was a totally different tone that was going on in the yeshiva in Elul. Elul was different. Do you know that Shmuel Rozovsky, it's brought down in his Sefer Zikaron, said that he heard from the Briskerov's son, the Briskerov said, when he realizes that Rosh Hashanah is just 2 weeks away, he says he cannot have hanah from anything in the world. He's so like petrified that he can't even enjoy anything. You understand that El is a whole thing. There's a whole world, this Zaman of El, that is affecting people in such a real way. And we feel a little bit distant from it, trying to understand what really is the nature of El. So listen to this amazing thing. There was a Yid, I knew him. His name was Rav Kalman Goldschmidt. He lived in Har Nof. He just passed away this year. Rav Kalman Goldschmidt was a Breslev Rechassid, a simple person. He used to cry on Rosh Hashanah, tears. And people asked him, how do you do it? Because so many of us are trying so hard to like eke out a tear, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, something. And he was just streams of tears. He says, you're starting too late. He said, the entire El, I've been working on this. That's the avoida of El for me. Elul is a time when a person can use this to get himself to a place somewhere where Rav Kalman Goldschmidt, Zichrono Livracha, was able to get to a place where he connected in Rosh Hashanah in a real way. That's what Elul is about. My daughter, as you know, just got married. And when we sat down with the Mechutanim, we were talking about when's the best time to get married. I said, let's do it like a few days into Elul. It'll be great. My Bachram will be here. We'll be able to enjoy the Chasen together. Now, my son-in-law learns in a yeshiva with a mashkiach. The mashkiach is Rav Naftali Kaplan. He runs the yeshiva. They have a rule, no weddings during El. No weddings during El. No bachar allowed to go to weddings during El. What do you mean, El? You're spending a night in El just like dancing? It's El. No weddings in El. So it still exists in a certain degree. A certain degree of the importance of El. Respect for El. Let's try to understand ourselves a little bit. What are we supposed to be doing during El? So listen to this amazing remes. This one, you've heard a lot probably about Rosh Hatevis of El. The famous one, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. And then there's others we spoke about in Halacha Seder because it's brought down in the Kitzer. All these different remazim about El. This one, I just heard for the first time this summer. It says in the Pasuk, when Klal Yisrael is sending the spies, Nishlucha Anoshim Lefaneinu V'yachperu Lanu Es Haaretz. Let's send people in front of us and let them spy out the land. Or Yachperu is really Lashon of to dig. Let them dig and see if they could, you know what they could get out of it there. Nishlucha Anoshim Lefaneinu V'yachperu Lanu Es Haaretz. The Targum on that word, Yachbru lano es haaretz, the targum is V'alelun lano es ara. Y'alelun. Y'alelun is the words elo. Y'alelun lano es haaretz. Let them elo us the land. What does that mean? So that the Balei HaToisvis bring a remez in this pasuk. Because listen to the Rosh Hatevis. The Rosh Hatevis of the pasuk of Anoshim lifaneinu v'yachbru lano is elo. Anoshim is Aleph Lefaneinu V'yachbru Lanu Elo. Says the Balei HaToisvis, this is a remez to Elo. Why? What does the Meraglim have to do with Elo? I think the answer is Elo, you're supposed to dig. You're supposed to be digging, searching. A person is supposed to be digging inside of himself and figuring out, like, what's going on. He's supposed to be doing Cheshben HaNefesh on, you know, what his life is about. That's what El was meant to be. El is a time when we're supposed to dig. I'll tell you, I have a friend that he went to yeshiva. He learned in yeshiva with me. We were Bachrim Pasek. Elul, he went to a Navardic yeshiva. There's a yeshiva in France. I don't know what, like, how he, like, had a... So he's going to France for Elul in yeshiva. Being yeshiva, Navardic. Navardic is the famous Musar yeshiva. He was Elul in Navardic. He came back. And he told me, what's it like in Navardic for El? When he was a bachur, when I was a bachur. They learned Musar 6 hours a day. They learned Musar during El. 6 hours of Musar a day. Did you imagine? Now, part of the Musar during El is the following thing. They take turns. They all go into a dark room. The room's dark, pitch dark. And they take turns And today it's his turn. And what they did was, that person was turned as all the Bachrim would tell him all their tainas on him. And they'd mamish tear him to shreds and tell him, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. It's dark, so no one, you know, takes anything personally. And they're trying, obviously, not to do it. Now, this is not for us, by the way. I don't think that Rabbi Stark would be happy with this at all. But what's the point? You're trying to get him to a place where he's understanding, listen, there's things you got to fix. Now, if we take it personally, then it's bad news. Then that's like Tisha B'Av, not El, because it's Sinas Chinam. We're not talking about that. This is people, if you learn 6 hours of Musar a day, maybe you could do it right. I'm not sure. But that's what they were doing. They go into their room. It's pitch black. And there's one boy. It's Yankel's turn. And everyone say, Yankel. Yankel, you did this wrong. Yankel did that wrong. And imagine everyone just bombarding you with everything you're doing wrong and wrong and wrong. And then you feel, that's a person feels a certain degree of regret, remorse, and understands he's got what to work on. They're digging into him. That's El. Now, it's a big, big challenge nowadays because we're fragile people and you don't want to get depressed. But the avoid of El is to try to think about, like, where am I going with my life? What am I doing with my life? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Where am I being honest with myself? That's El. Now, I want to ask you a question. The mazel of Chodesh El. What is the mazel of Chodesh El? The mazel of Chodesh El is Besula. Now, I thought that that's a perfect time for someone to get married. Besula, this says, Liyom Arvi, get married during Chodesh El. I thought it's perfect. But no. But the mazel is Besula. Now, let me ask you. Do you know what it means, a Sdei Besula? There's different types of sadas. There's a sada which is called the stei cheresh and a stei besula. A stei besula is a sada which was not dug, which is a sada which was not plowed, a sada which no one dug into the sada. So the whole idea of Elul is we have to dig and dig and dig. Why is it a stei besula? Which we're coming to figure out all of the things that already happened. Why are we calling it a besula? Why is the right mazel of the Chodesh Besula? I would think it would be the exact opposite. A Sada that has been untouched is a Stei Besula. A Sada that has been is a Stei Cheresh, which is Vayachru Lanu as Haaretz. What's the Pshat? And I think perhaps the Pshat is a deeper understanding in what Tshuva is and what really we're supposed to do during Elul. I think this is very important, you say. I want to begin with a shiloh that they ask in the Gemara as follows. The Gemara says that if, let's say, there's an Eved Kanani, he's a goy, and he's a slave. And let's say his owner wants to free him. So can you be zoicha in his get shichra? The way to free a slave is to give him a declaration of emancipation, which is a get shichra. Can you go on his behalf, receive it for him, and go back and say, listen, you're a free man? Well, by the way, when Eved becomes a free man, he now is chayv in mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, no. Because avda behefkeira nichalei. A slave would rather be hefker, which is, I don't have any obligations, no responsibilities. I could be a slave. Once I'm a free man, now I'm a Jew, now I have all these obligations, responsibilities, mitzvahs, I'd rather just stay a slave. So if a person would choose to do it on his own, that's his choice. But you can't go on his behalf and say, I'm going to do this for you, because in order to do that, you need to use the principle, Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav. I'm going to do a schus for you. This is a benefit for you. That's not necessarily a benefit. For an Eved to become a free man. Okay. So now, what happens if a slave gets hit and his master knocks out his tooth or his eye? What's the repercussion? What happens? He goes free. So now, how does this make any sense? Not only did he lose his tooth, but now he also lost his he was a slave before. Now all of a sudden, we said, he'd rather be a slave. So what do we give him as kilo, as a consolation? What does he get? Now he becomes a free man, but he doesn't want to be a free man. So how does that work? What's the pshat as a ki'ilu, a reward or reparation for what happened? He now becomes free. But Eved doesn't want to be free. That's the kasha the Mefarshim asks. So one teretz is, listen, maybe an eved's okay being a slave with the normal master, but he's got an abusive master over here. This is a guy who just knocked out his eye, knocked out his tooth. This person is clearly abusive. He might rather be a slave, but not under these conditions, not with this master. So for him, maybe it's a schus. One teretz. I was thinking a different teretz. Think of Pshat as follows. The Torah, when the Torah decides what should a response be or not, the Torah is not thinking only about what do we want, what are we saying. The Torah is thinking about what is really good for us. The Torah is going beyond that. The Torah is seeing what is really a benefit for this person. Is it better for him to remain a slave? Or is it better for him to be a Yid? What's a benefit? The Torah can do that. The Torah goes beyond what he's saying. And he's saying, look, I'm happy the way I am. But you don't even know what it means. You never even tasted it. You don't appreciate it. I'm going to give you something even better. And that's because the Torah is in touch with what is the reality above and beyond what a person's perception is. We have certain perceptions. We think, this is good for us. I can be a slave, do whatever I want. I can marry whoever I want. I can connect to whoever I want. It's good. It's fun being a slave. The Torah says, there's so much more that you could learn to appreciate. I'm going to give it to you. So therefore, the Torah can give him freedom. This is the yesod of tshuva. The yesod of Elul is a person getting in touch with his reality. What's really there? Who am I really? Because a lot of times we don't even know. Sometimes we're doing things we don't even know necessarily why. And we never had the opportunity to really think about it. What happens during Elul is a person gets in touch with who he really is. Because there are layers. There are layers that are placed upon us, which is not really us. We're not digging beneath the surface. We're digging away all the layers that are on top of the surface in order just to get to who I am. And that happens during Elul. That's the digging that we're doing. There's a remez in the Zohar from this week's Parasha to Elul. Why? It says the following thing. The Pasuk speaks about that there's an Eshes Yefas Toyer, there's a woman, a prisoner of war. You bring her to your house, and she sits there. V'yoshva b'veisecho uvachsa es aviv es ima yerech yomim. She cries for a month. She cries for a month. You allow her a month's time to try to mourn that she, her mother and father are gone. V'achar kein tovo eleo v'alta. Afterwards, you could bring her into the to your home. Now, the Zohar says, what's this month? Yerach Yamim. This is the month of Elul. It's the month of Elul. Besula, Nisnes Liyom Arvi, is Rosh Hatevas Levana. Yerach is Levana. That is the month of, says the Zohar, it's the month of Elul. She cries the month of Elul? What's going on? So there's a Sefer that says the following thing. Shira Shal Shabbos, it says, based on a Medrash, the Sifri says, who's her mother and her father? It's not referring to really who her mother and her father is. It's referring to she's crying for, sometimes you could call someone, who's your daddy? Who owns you? Who owns you? Says the Medrash, Avia is Oimrim La'etz Aviata. She said, the tree is my father. She worships the tree. So she's really mourning her Avodah Zarah. She's mourning the things that she had worshipped. That was her lifestyle. That's the way she lived her life. Was in this in this environment of Avodah Zarah. And all of a sudden we're telling her, lady, that's over. Forget Avodah Zarah. From here on in, you can have no association, affiliation with that. She needs a month to be able to process that. That's the month of Elul. That's the month to realize that a tree is not your father. It's just not. That's the month to realize that we what we thought was a part of our lives was a hoax. It was just an illusion. And a person gets in touch with who he really is in Elul, and he realizes the following thing. We say in Davening, Elokai, Nishoma Shenasata Bi Tehoirahi. My neshama is pure. Now, my neshama is pure. Maybe it was pure back in the day, but it's been dirtied with lots of aveiros and things I shouldn't have seen, things I shouldn't have done, things I shouldn't have eaten, places I shouldn't have gone, all that stuff. It's contaminated my neshama. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. That's all just filth that's caked on top of your neshama. But if you dig and you get rid of that, those layers, you get down to the neshama, your neshama is pure. Your neshama is a besula. Pure, untouched. And that's Ella. We have to get in touch with who we really are. And sometimes we have false perceptions. We have things because there's behavior which we've just become very accustomed to. There are things that we become dependent on. There are certain things that we even can say we're addicted to. But does that mean that it's us? No. It's just, it's behavior that we've become accustomed to, and that's got to change. Elul is the time for change. It's an opportunity. We can't waste the opportunity. Elul is ani ledoidi v'doidi li. The pasuk finishes. That's a pasuk. Ani ledoidi v'doidi li haroya b'shoishanim. Roses. What is ani ledoidi v'doidi li haroya b'shoishanim? Because shoshanim, roses grow amongst thorns. There's a lot of people out there that don't appreciate Elul. But don't. Elul's just, you know, new school year, fun, you know, let's go have a good time. They're the choichim, they're the thorns. Ani ledoidi v'doidi li aroya b'sheishanim. But there are also roses. Beautiful roses that can appreciate Elul. We have to capitalize on an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's a zman. It's not just, I'll do it whenever it works. It's a zman. We can't waste it. This is a zman for us to try to leave behind behavior and lifestyles that is not us. Now, people, every person has a choice on if he's ready, what he's ready for, and how to do it. You do. But there are certain things, Abu Isai, that when you're dealing with a institution like a yeshiva, so we've trying to create an environment. And in this environment, there are certain things that just will not be. I try my hardest to keep my finger on like what's going on. I'm reading from all over, from secular sources everywhere about the addictive nature of technology, of social media, of internet, all these things. They're in the process right now of making internet a full-blown addiction because they found that it's actually more addictive than heroin. It's a process until they actually, you know, they have to go through all the... But as far as the tests that they've done, it's more addictive. Internet is more addictive than heroin. So already in China, they already have houses which are... You know, which are there to, in order to cure people of internet addiction. We don't have it yet in the Western world, but it's on the way, because they realize the terrible effect that these things are having on people. Now, a person can choose to live his life however he wants. And there's someone who was telling me he was eating a meal a few Shabbos ago with Bachman from a different yeshiva. They're talking about our yeshiva, and they said, "Yeah, I don't agree with this whole policy about smartphones and iPhones and computers and whatever. I don't agree." And you know something? They're entitled to their opinion. I'm okay with that. You could argue. It's not a problem. Just don't come into our yeshiva. You could go to wherever you are and be there and do your thing. I got no problem with that. I'm not going to judge you. But you know, don't judge me either. Now, I spent my life building this yeshiva. This is my life. This yeshiva is my life. I eat here. I would sleep here, but there's not enough room for a bed in my office. This is my life. You're welcome to be a part of it. But there are conditions. This is the condition. You cannot have any type of viewing device, anything that has viewing capability at all.
cannot have it not in yeshiva, not out of yeshiva. If you have one in Eretz Yisrael, you can leave it in the safe, and then we're safe. But anything else, you're not welcome in this yeshiva. Now let me explain to you what I mean by that. I don't just mean that if I catch you, then you're going to have to leave, which is true, immediately, that night. I didn't mean that. I mean, you are not a part of this yeshiva. You enrolled, you sent an application, and we accepted you on a condition. The condition is you don't have these devices. You do, you're not a part of this yeshiva. You eat here, you're a ganef. You sleep here, you're a ganef. Ganef! Now, there's plenty of yeshivas that will tell you now that have phones. They don't call you ganef. So if you have a problem with this, go there. They won't call you ganef. I am telling you, you sleep here, you're a ganef. And I want to have nothing to do with you. You say, I need my phone. Fine, go to another yeshiva. You can have your phone and we could be friends, acquaintances. But you want to be here. This is the one condition. I will not call you ganef unless you actually steal from anyone. If you'd walk into my house and steal, I'll call you ganef. By coming to yeshiva and bringing one of these things, it's like you're walking into my house and stealing from me. It's a ganef. There's no two ways about it. And there's no such thing as, in my mind, yeshiva aderes haTorah with smartphones or without smartphones. Yeshiva aderes haTorah means one thing, no smartphones. And if it ever comes a day when that's going to have to change, we might have to close up shop. I will not live with that. I'm not okay with that. That's what I stand for. That's who I am. You know, we're just learning Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, it says, Al tischaber l'rosha, v'al tisyayish min ha'paranias. Which means, don't be friends with a rosha, and don't forget that there is punishment. What does that mean? The Mefarshim say as follows. Some people say, you know, I have to be friends with him because he's my friend. He's doing all these wrong things. I mean, but he's my friend. I got to be friends. You will be punished for that. You will be punished. So I want to tell you something. I'm not just saying that I have issues. I can't even call it issues with a bacha that brings one of these things into yeshiva because this goes against everything that yeshiva stands for, and he's trying to destroy the foundation of yeshiva. I have issues with anyone that allows his friend to have one in yeshiva. Does he have to snitch? No, he has to get rid of it. He has to get rid of it. It cannot be here. And if the person doesn't listen, honestly, truth, we cannot have this here. Anyone that stands for what the yeshiva stands for, anyone that's a part of this yeshiva, this is the one thing that is poison for our yeshiva. My friends, I can tell you from experience, I've had over 1,000 talmidim. A bachur that removes this from his life, he feels liberated. He feels like he becomes himself. This is the process of Elul. And it's a challenge, but it is an opportunity. Now, just to make it clear, if anyone at any point of the entire year ever comes forward with a phone, you will not be asked where you got it from, or how long you've had it, or whose it is. If you bring it forward on your own, so then no questions are going to be asked. But if we ever find anyone with a phone, a computer, a tablet, anything in their possession, even a watch that has internet access, that has imaging capability, viewing capability, it's over. I'm sad to say, we have not gone 1 year. We're in starting our 13th year. We have not gone 1 year without having to ask Bachram to leave the yeshiva. It happens. It happens that people do it, and it happens that people get caught. So I'm making a suggestion and a plea. Don't make me do it. But I will. Don't make a difference who you are. Because there's no yeshiva with smartphones. Not this yeshiva. And Bezrat Hashem, with Siyata D'Shemaya, we're going to work hard. This is the first step. And I can tell you that we make this sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice I understand. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bez Hashem, will give us that will be zoicha, every one of us, that we'll have nila doidi v'doidi li, celebrate a beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a beautiful Zman of Aliyah.